All right, so what do we do on this one?
You go first.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I go first.
We do this every time. I know. All right, go.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, do you listen to much music from the early 2000s?
I actually used to listen to a lot, but I stopped.
Really? Did you go cold turkey?
No, I gradually weaned myself off it.
Wah, wah.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so we're out on the deck. We're out on the deck. It's finally stopped raining.
Yeah, it feels like summer. It's been summer for a couple weeks now. No, wait. It's not summer yet.
On your calendar, when is summer?
No, it's not. I forgot. June. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's nice out here. Late spring, Jim. It's nice on the deck. I confused myself.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, though, about mid-Atlantic weather. It essentially is summer.
Yes.
Now, weather-wise, right? Like, right. This is it. No more of this, like, these, like, overcast, rainy days. I think now it's going to be hot and humid from here until
October 20th.
Yeah, that's about right. Okay, so here we go.
So strap in.
So we're out on the deck, and it is hot and humid, but we're going to persevere. We got some water going. That's about as hard as it gets right now.
Yeah, might have to make a beer run later in the week.
That's right. And and here's what we're going to do today. This is very special.
Okay.
We are going to talk via FaceTime here on the computer. We're going to talk with Barrett Reese in Pittsburgh.
All right.
Hello, Barrett.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
We are doing great. And the reason why we're talking to Barrett, number one, first reason is that he is
amazing.
A number one fan of the show, super
awesome.
He has been a supporter for a long time. And he, to the extent that he's even driven out from Pittsburgh to attend some of our events and things like that, the house party, the other live events, just go to a show. Like, it's been amazing.
I know, it's been amazing. And I feel like he's way cooler and more organized than I am, too. And successful. So that's another reason I like to talk to him.
So when there's
somebody that'll rub off on us.
When there's a Suburbs Pod Hall of Fame, he's first ballot, right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the
first class, first ballot, right in there. Right. Okay. So that's it, first of all. But then second of all, he's also a patron of the show. So when we launched our Patreon, where people can go and support the show financially, Barrett was the first patron. And he contributed at the level, I think it's called guest star level, where every 3 months we'll have him on the show like
Which is amazing.
Right?
Yeah, I love that.
So this is the first official appearance in that capacity.
Whoop,
and the way we set that up is he gets to pick the topic too. So Barrett, first off, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm a software engineer out here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is just a DC suburb, really. Have loved music my entire life. Pretty much listen to it all day long while I'm programming. So depending on what I have to listen to, it kind of helps me get through the day.
Was there one moment for you, Barrett, like an epiphany back in your early days where you sort of got turned on to music, and was there one song that sort of did it all for you, or was it just kind of always around?
I think it was always around in my house.
Uh-huh.
My parents always had records. My dad was the only white guy in an all black soul R&B group.
Oh, really?
back in the late 70s through early 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like growing up in Canton, Ohio, but going up to Akron, Ohio, like every single night, getting introduced to stuff like Miles Davis, Parliament Funkadelic, the introduction of rap music. So,
wow.
Yeah, I've always been around different genres.
That is very cool.
That's a very cool education.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
unusual, I would say.
And so you grew up in Ohio, but now you live in Pittsburgh. And does this cause you any problems at all? Just, you know, because I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. So the idea of living in Pittsburgh, I'm sure it's a lovely city. I'm sure there's a lot of great things. It has as many charms, I'm sure.
Yep.
But the Steelers not being one of those.
No.
It's kind of odd because I was never into sports that much, and everyone out here is completely obsessed by the Steelers.
Yeah.
So on Sundays when they're all watching the game, I'm out biking or doing something different.
Good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's your own little protest.
So there's
I'm gonna consider it that. But anyway,
there's no rivalry here.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Awesome. Okay. So we're going to get into the topic here in a minute. We actually should introduce ourselves. So you're listening to Rock in the Suburbs, which we are absolutely doing today outside here. Yeah, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And Barrett, what specifically did you want to talk about on this episode?
Over the past couple episodes, you guys have always talked about the perfect pop songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel, you know, it's great to have a perfect pop song, but those can kind of be easy. You know, you can have a perfect pop song on an album and the rest of the album is absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us growing up through the 70s and 80s and even like the late 90s, we suddenly discovered we were paying like $15 for a CD and only getting that one song.
Right.
So what I wanted to look at are the albums that you can listen to from start to finish that you don't want to fast forward, that you don't want to pick up the needle and jump to the next track.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you actually feel is completely important to listen to every single track front to back.
So this is funny. Just a quick aside, I'm going to tease something. This is funny because we have some episodes coming up. The concept of taking a double album and cutting it down to a single album. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
this works.
But what we're talking about here are like the albums where you could not cut out a song.
Even if it was a double album, you couldn't cut anything out.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Very interesting.
So do you have an example of this, Barrett?
Yeah. One of the ones I thought of first about was, wasn't their most popular album. It wasn't the one with the most popular singles that came out of it. But it's definitely something you have to listen to from front to back. And that's U2's 1984 album, The Unforgettable Fire.
Ah, nice choice.
And I think that was the first time they worked with Brian Eno and Lenoir.
That's right.
Like the atmospheric type of tones on that.
Yep.
Completely different from like Boy, October, and War, which preceded that album.
I think that's a great choice because I know that you, Patrick, have often said that's your favorite U2 album,
that
right?
Probably is. And I think, you know, probably for the reasons that Barrett is outlining,
right.
You know, I wouldn't say...
It's a complete album.
Exactly, yeah. Would I say that my favorite U2 song is on that album? Probably not, you know, because it probably might be something earlier from War or Boy. But this one, I agree, you put it on and it's an experience from front to back. Like, it all seems to make sense. And there wasn't... Maybe Barrett, you know, there is that one, you know, big single on there that was a fairly big single for them, Pride in the Name of Love. But other than that, everything else is kind of different, right? It's more atmospheric and it kind of grows on you the more you listen to it, right?
Yeah, I think it kind of builds right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And the entire tone of the album is just shaped from start to finish. And there's never like a real definite cut between songs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it all kind of flows together. Gosh, I'm thinking of the title track too, and there's a song on there called Wire that I really like just off the top of my head. That's really cool tune.
Well, yeah, and it opens with a sort of homecoming, which is 5.5 minute song,
right? With those cool, with that cool drum lick, and that's
later
awesome
on
tune.
Is the song "Bad," which is a 6 minute song.
Yeah.
So it's got
that's
some
right.
like you know extended stuff that is meant, I think, to sort of like pull you in and make you an active listener. And that this is also, I think, the beginning. I think this is kind of the beginning of where they started to really examine America. Like that became a big thing with them. So you have, you know, Pride in the Name of Love, which, you know, is of course about Martin Luther King.
Yep.
But also there's a song, 4th of July. There's Elvis Presley in America.
Oh,
and then there's a song called MLK. So this kind of began their sort of obsession with sort of dissecting America in some way, too.
That's a really good point.
So it has a certain theme to
that.
It.
Yeah. And yet it was recorded in a castle somewhere, right, in Ireland, right? Some remote castle or something.
Moydrum Castle.
Amazing. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? What a cool choice. I had not thought about that record in quite a while, but you're right. I do always kind of bring that up when we get into the U2 conversation. Mm-hmm. And gosh, man, now thinking about Bad and sort of Homecoming, are that those are big live songs for them too, for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bad especially became like this epic thing that they would do.
And that even has the line, Wide Awake in America, right?
It does, yeah.
So good choice.
10 songs, 42 minutes. So that fits right in the paradigm of about 21, 22 minutes aside that apparently is optimum for good sound on a vinyl LP. So
that's an excellent one. So everybody go fire up your Walkman, put the Unforgettable Fire cassette in.
Yeah.
Put those headphones on and listen to that.
Crank it back to front.
Right, that's right. Were there any others, Barrett?
Yeah. One thing I was also kind of thinking of was like right when Napster came about, it kind of stopped having albums that were either just with that single track.
Mm-hmm.
Or people were just buying those single tracks online or downloading them. But then you start getting pushed towards like the mid 2000s till now, where albums are again actually complete albums that you actually have to listen to from front to back. So the second one I picked is from 2003 from one of my favorite bands, Ween, Quebec.
Okay.
Yep.
It starts out with pretty much a Motorhead-inspired song called It's Gonna Be a Long Night, and works down through just about every type of genre. But the songs, just like The Unforgettable Fire, completely flow together just as one solid theme.
I gotta admit, this is not a record I'm super familiar with.
See, I honestly, I don't even know that much about Ween.
Yeah,
Whatever reason, it's just, you know, yeah, one of yeah. those gaps I have.
And I don't know where it was.
They're a band you either love or hate, or either know about or don't know anything about whatsoever.
Yeah, I remember getting into them kind of early in their stuff. They had a song called El Camino. Do you guys remember this tune? That I had on a mixtape. I think it must have been on one of their really early albums. And I kind of knew their early stuff a little bit, but after that, I fell apart. So I don't think I would have been listening to them or paying attention as late as 2003.
Yeah, I got pulled in when Chocolate and Cheese came out in the 90s.
Ah, right. That was a big hit.
Yeah, and then just pretty much, you know, bought into everything after that.
Mm-hmm.
Seen them so many times in concert and...
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, they cover every single genre out there.
Yeah, they really do. They've always been very eclectic, which is kind of cool.
And is that what you like about them?
Oh, yeah. Even their album, which was... 12 country hits.
Yeah, I remember that.
They pull
that.
Back Elvis Presley's backing band into the studio with them.
Yeah, the album I'm thinking of is God Ween Satan from 1990, so that's going way back.
Yeah, that was their debut.
Yeah, okay, that's their first one that has the song El Camino, which is it's a pretty great song.
But as you said, this album, Quebec, is meant to be, like you said, sort of a full work, right? That you listen to beginning to end.
Is it about Canada?
No.
Well, that's very Ween.
Well, you had me at Motorhead, sounding like Motorhead, so I'm going to have to check that out.
I have to definitely put this on a playlist for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple like really good songs that stick out. Like, It's Going to Be a Long Night that starts out the album. But also Transdermal Celebration is just, you know, completely bombastic. But then they go completely mellow with the song called Chocolate Town towards the end. But the album never gets boring. It never gets like sing-songy, never sounds exactly the same. but it does pull you through from start to finish.
Beautiful.
So that raises an interesting point to me. When you suggested this topic and I was thinking about it earlier in the week, I thought, like, is it, if I'm listening to an album in order front to back, is it better to have an album that's kind of similar in tone or one that's very different,
That's very interesting.
Because because one of the ones I thought of was The Replacements' Let It Be. Like, just, I think because it's burned in my memory in order. Yep. And I like the sequencing of it, the way it sort of jumps about.
Yep.
But then again, that also kind of makes it work on shuffle, too.
Like, it does. You know, that's like a really good
point.
So
I'm not sure if that's a good example. So I wonder.
Yeah. Well, like something like that, I would think of like the 2017 album, Cigarettes After Sex.
Uh-huh.
Where every song is pretty much within the same type of vibe from the very start till the very end.
Uh-huh.
That one I would consider a complete album, but it does get kind of tiring after a while.
All right, cool. That's a couple really good ones. Anything else, Barrett?
Nope, that's what I got.
You too? Okay, so I'm going to give you just real quickly a couple things I thought of.
Okay.
First off, won't be a surprise. You know, my mind first went to things that are more like rock opera kind of albums because they're sort of meant to be, to tell a story in some way.
Exactly.
And be in order. Mm-hmm. Or even an album like Sgt. Pepper's, you know, you sort of feel like that should be listened to in that order. Mm-hmm. To me, a classic one would be Quadrophenia.
The example my mind goes to.
Yeah, because the way it kind of always, it kind of reverts back to a theme in between, you know.
Interwoven.
So that's a great one. I thought of one that's really where the artist had the intent for this, which is the Prince album, 1988, Love Sexy. Which purposely, and it's still this way on Spotify, I'm looking at it right now, purposely is electronically is coded as one track.
Oh, really?
So when you bought the CD, you could not skip ahead. Even though it's, you know, it's a song cycle, it's essentially one 45-minute track.
And I had no idea it was like that.
And it's still that way on the streaming.
Is it?
Yeah. Look, one track. Well, this is the songs.
That's amazing. But it's just one and you can't skip ahead.
So Prince is forcing you to listen to it that way. That's one. But then the one I thought of, and like when you were saying perfect pop, you know, like there's no dead wood in this record.
Yeah.
And there's, and it makes sense, I think. The one I thought of is Fables of the Reconstruction.
Ah, oh, that's a good shout, Jim.
So what year was that? 1985, R.E.M. Because not only is, I just think every song is great, but I do think there's a real logic to the way this is sequenced, the way it kind of, it goes fast, it goes slow, one song kind of leads into another, I think, very nicely. And I also think, unconventionally, I think, the lead track, you got to start with that. So it's Feeling Gravity's Pull, and it just starts with those, that's like crazy guitars, you know, those sort of like minor key guitars that automatically, not, I think, what a lot of bands would pick to lead off an album, right? It's a real kind of a downer of a song or kind of a weird song that you kind of have to, like, it's abrasive in some way, right?
Yes.
But to me, that like sets the tone for the album right there.
Show me what I can do.
hear that song.
And especially and given what a departure it was for REM at the time, right? It definitely was a lot different than Reckoning. It took them and they recorded it in England, and all had that rainy, gloomy kind
That's
of
right.
feel.
Gloomy is a good word for it, right? And it sort of starts with those weird ringing guitars, and then it kind of like lurches forward, and it's like, I'm pulling
harmonics.
You into this album, right?
Very true.
And then to end, you know, you go through the whole song cycle, and, you know, in my mind, it's like, can't get there from here. Well, immediately when that stops, you hear Green Grow the Rushes. Yeah. Of course you do, right?
You're right.
This is how it is. But then to end with Wendell G, with the banjo and all that kind of stuff, it just feels like, and Michael Stipe's voice is fantastic on Wendell G. Oh, yeah. It just feels like that's the end of the experience, right? Like that's the closing track, right?
Yeah.
So
that's
that was
point.
What I came up with.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Good choice.
Yeah, very good choice. You know, just thinking about it, the one where I feel like there is no possible way that any of the songs could be removed, and you need every single second of every single one, is Funhouse by the Stooges.
Ooh.
Because there's only 7 songs to start with, right? So if you lost one, you'd be in deep trouble. And they're all kind of perfect. I mean, yeah, the way that one starts with Down on the Street and it ends with LA Blues, like those, that's to me pretty perfect. I know there's a box set out there where there's like 80 takes of every song, which kind of blows my mind. But that's the one to me that feels like
that's a great one.
If you took anything out, Jenga, it would just all fall apart. Like you need it all.
What I like about that pick also, and by the way, my wife just got me this on vinyl for Christmas.
Oh,
it was
sweet.
One of my Christmas gifts this year.
You need that.
Yes. The other thing too about that, I know it's very highly regarded album for people in the know, but you kind of have to be in the know with this record. It doesn't have like the immediate songs people associate with Iggy Pop, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. There's none on here that really you would call a hit in any sort of way. Yeah. And even the first album had probably more well-known songs than this one, but this one's a piece to me. It's like the one you
that's
gotta,
exactly right.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Right. You gotta, it is one kind of coherent statement of, I don't know what, but that's the howling madness of the Stooges is well presented on that record.
All right, cool. This was fun.
Yeah, very fun. I want to do a lot more now. I'm starting to think about all these ideas.
Well, the other funny thing I'd love to hear from listeners on this too is, did we lose this when CDs came along and we had the ability to shuffle things or program an order or put in multiple CDs, you know, at a time or that kind of thing, right?
Or as Barrett said, right on the head with Napster, and
well, then
you
can
start downloading songs.
Single songs, making playlists, all that stuff.
MP3.
So I wonder if you would even come up with a more modern album, because you probably don't even really listen to it that way much anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd love to hear what people have to say. So if you have any nominees for a perfect album, listen to it in order, top to bottom, what would that be?
What would that
so let
be?
Us know. So you can email rock@suburbspod.com. You can call and do that, because we want to hear your voice.
We do.
And we haven't gotten many calls lately, and our operator's getting lonely. So it's 612-440-1984. There you go. Or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'll put this question up there as well, and people can comment there. All that at Suburbs Pod. So, and then the other thing we should say, go to patreon.com/suburbspod, where if you want to be a guest star like Barrett, you can do that right there.
It'd be great.
It's pretty simple. It's intuitive. Shows you how to do that.
Eventually,
and then
we'll have to do nothing. It'll just be our listeners
in control. I like that idea.
We're heading in the right direction. Thank you, Barrett.
I like that. We basically charge people to do the show for us.
I love it.
It's
brilliant.
It's a good business model.
That's right. We'll just be sitting in a hammock out here, sipping lemonade.
So no, but seriously, Barrett, thank you for all your support. You've been
thank you guys.
Absolutely, man.
You've been great.
Yeah. It is super fun to hang out with Barrett. I can't wait till we do another house party so we can coax him down to hang out.
We're about to put a couple invites out to bands, cool. By the way. Yeah. Summer is a good time to do them.
We had a blast at the Dot Dash show, so that was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Great. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to all you guys tomorrow.
Tom's got one of my favorite Michael Stipe lyrics in Feeling Gravity's Pull when he says, it's a man ray kind of sky.